We are coming to a close of the year, right? We've got 1.5 weeks and then we are done. We enter into a new year and it seems like the days are going faster and faster. Time, someone says, well, we all say this also, time flies. And what do we expect in the new year? Many things, I believe, will change. For a lot of us, you know, New Year is always, oh, okay, something new is coming, and it's not the same old all the time. But we have been talking in the last couple of weeks about let it die, okay? We're talking about surrender, we're talking about, you know, allowing God to take control, and as we come towards the close of the year, we want to continue to think about that, and think about different aspects of what it means to, you know, come before the Lord and say, God, you know, all these things happening to me, I like this, but not my will, your will be done. And come to the point to say that, God, you know, I let it die, because there are certain things that in my life that needs to die, and unless it dies, unless I learn how to put it into the ground, let it die, it's not going to grow and bear much fruit. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians is a book that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. And he wrote this in the midst of suffering, in the midst of, you know, being in prison. And he says in chapter 3, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. A person who is suffering in prison writes an encouragement and says, rejoice in the Lord. In fact, you read the book of Philippians, this word comes out over and over again. Rejoice, 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 rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, he keeps saying that. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard to you. Verse 2, watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil. He calls them dogs, right? Those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard of the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We pause there. Today I want to talk about three things as we enter into a new year, as we think about letting go, as we think about surrender, as we think about letting things die, releasing. Paul here writes to the Philippians and he says, that rejoice. You know, but then he goes on to say that watch out for these people, these men, he calls them dogs, who does evil. Why? Because we have been called, we are the circumcision, we are the ones who worship the Spirit of God. There needs to be a change as we enter the new year, you know, to consider some of these things. Number one, a perspective of life. What is our perspective of life? There is a difference between those who do evil and those who live by the Spirit, Paul says. Those who have confidence in the flesh, and then he goes on to say the confidence that we have in the Spirit. The things that we need to lose, you know, Paul mentions that word three times, you know. I consider it all loss so that I can gain Christ. I consider it loss for the sake of Christ. I consider everything loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Him. And then he says, I lost it all. I consider them rubbish. The King James uses a stronger word. He says, I consider it dung. Okay? S-H-I-T lah. Huh? Compared to what I found in Christ, that I may gain Christ. Now, where do we put our confidence? You know, at the end of the year, a lot of times we have what we call evaluation. We evaluate what our life has been. We look back and say, you know, what are the good things that we have done? What are the not so good things, you know, that we can learn from? What are our achievements in the past year? What are our, if we are, you know, some of us even start at achievements and we think of all the good things. And, you know, what are our failures as well? How can we learn from them? Paul says we need to have a correct perspective of life. He says that, you know, if any of you want to have confidence, it should be me. He's very bold. You know? I don't think he's bragging, all right? He is stating the facts, and he's very bold in stating those facts. He says, I have more confidence than any one of you, if you want to talk about confidence. Okay, and he goes on and lists it down. You know, I'm, you know, circumcised on the eighth day. You know, I'm from the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, he says. All right? Regards to the law, a Pharisee, right up there. It's for zeal. I got more zeal than any one of you because I've been persecuting the church. As far as, you know, righteousness is concerned, legalistic righteousness, he says, the law. Faultless. Can't find any fault in him, you know. I'm sure none of us here dare to say, you know, as far as the law is concerned, faultless. You know, we illegal park, we, you know, press the accelerator more than often, we go parking, never put ticket. Oh god. Nodding your head now. We have failed in many areas, but here's this guy who says, hey, don't compare, no. But then he goes on to say, all that is nothing. Dumb. I was reading this story about, you know, it's a story lah. About this guy, you know, he says that, okay, one day this preacher died and, you know, he went up to heaven. And then who meets him there? All the stories same one. Peter is there at the gate, right? So Peter is at the gate, and this preacher comes to him, and you know, wants to enter heaven. And the preacher and Peter says, you know, in order to go to heaven, you need 100 points to enter into heaven. Then he says, I've been serving God for the last 47 years. You know, I'm doing God's work. And Peter turns to him and says, great, 1 point. I've 47 years, you know, 1 point. Then he scratches his head and think, well, I've gone on mission trips wherever I can. Whenever, you know, free time, I give it to missions. Great. 1 point. Okay. You know, I've been working with youth, right? Yeah, youth worth definitely more than 1 point, lah, you know, because, you know, this bunch of people cannot handle one. And I've been working with you with all my heart. Ah, 1 point. What? 1 point. Oh, well, Peter says, now you got 3 points. You need another 97 points. And so he's all stressed out right now because he needs another 97 points to enter into heaven, right? And he thinks about it, you know, he's, yeah, okay, he's thinking about all the other things, and oh, if that is worth 1 point, it's not worth anything at all. So it's not even, they're not even mention it out, you know, of all the things that he's done. And then he in his stress, he says, you know, there's no way I can enter. The only way I can enter is by the grace of God. And Peter turns to him and says, ah, yes, grace of God. Worth more than 97 points, enter. A lot of times we miss out the things that are of value in life. And we look at the 1 point, so to speak, and you say, hey, you know, there's so much, 47 years of ministry, right? 1 point. And we bang on that. That's the first thing we mentioned, you know. Hey, give my life. I give up everything. Paul says, let's have the right perspective. Let's have the right perspective of life. As we cross over, as we, you know, the new year, as we come towards this season where we celebrate the birth of Christ, right? When we think about that and what Christ has done for us, what are our perspectives of who He is and life itself? I consider all this, Paul says, dung, rubbish, that I may gain Christ. I consider it lost compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. I consider it lost for the sake of Christ. How much have we been striving for the things of this world? Strive. Strive. Paul says, there's no comparison. Let's have the right perspective. Then he goes on to say in verse 10, and this is the second thing I want to talk about. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death. And so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. A right perspective of life. Number two, to persevere through suffering. Yeah, I have this verse highlighted in my Bible. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His to sharing in His suffering. You know, as a young Christian, highlighter, very nice. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. Resurrection, amen? The power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. That's what the Bible says, right? Dwells within us. And we need to know that power. But a lot of times, you know, guilty, we read this verse and we stop there. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. But then the verse continues, and the fellowship of sharing in His suffering. Go on some more. And becoming like Him in
start to pray on that one. First part, can the good stuff, you know, again, this is, you know, understanding Christ and what He has done for us. Very easy to pray. I want to know Christ and the power, you know. We need to persevere through suffering. That's giving up. That's releasing. That's surrender. To come to the point to say, like Paul, I want to fellowship in sharing. I want to share with your suffering. How do you do that? In the first place, dare we even say that? Many times in life, in the world, the philosophy of this world basically says you need to live your life, you know, in such a way whereby you get. What do you get, you know, out of life or whatever you're doing? Some even go further and say, what can you take? Not yours also take, What can you take out of the circumstances, the situations that you're in? If cannot take, don't go and do. Go and get involved in the things that only benefit you. And sometimes we grow up subconsciously, even as Christians, you know, we have this mentality that, yeah, it's got to be good. That the Christian walk has to be just about the good stuff. You know, yes, God will bless us. But sometimes we stop there and say, that's all it is. You know, if we become a Christian, we're going to be blessed. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen, God is good. You know, we're going to have power. We're going to have, you know, blessing. Paul says, let's go to the next step. Because we need to understand what it is to fellowship in His suffering. Many times as a pastor, leader, you know, you go visit someone, and I'm sure some of you have done that as well, who is maybe sick, ill, who has a condition, all right, accident maybe. And then you go, you don't know what to say. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You visit someone who is ill and don't know what to say. How do I encourage this person? We take up the word of God and we hold on to the promises and we say, this is the word of God, this is the promise, right? And we share as best as we can. Trying to understand the situation that the person is in, the suffering that the person is going through. Whether it's a loss, whether it's a, you know, something happened, the person is terminally ill or whatever. And then comes along someone who has gone through the same situation. Someone who has the same illness. Someone who understands what it means to lose a loved one. Or someone who understands what it means to have, you know, his leg amputated, for example. And shares. What happens then? Whatever we know up here, compared to the experience of this other person, these two fellas suddenly connect. Why? Because when you're suffering, you connect with someone who has gone through, you fellowship, literally, with someone who has gone through that same suffering. If you go through a situation, and someone who has gone through the situation comes and says, you know what happened to me? This is what happened to me. And you listen and you're like, oh, yeah, that's exactly what happened to me. And you fellowship almost immediately. You connect almost immediately. Now, Christ has gone through every suffering that you can ever imagine. He's gone through the worst. And a lot of times when we are suffering, we just look at the wall and we bang the wall. What Paul basically is saying here is this. You need to learn how to understand, to fellowship, to partner with Christ's suffering, because when you do that, you understand what you yourself are going through. You understand who he is and what you are going through. And a lot of times we say, we don't want the bad stuff, or what we term as bad. We don't want the tough situations. We just want the good stuff. But Christ went through the cross for us. And when we fellowship, when we understand in the midst of the difficult things that we are going through, we say, yes, God. Yes, Jesus, come and tell me your experience. The moment we are open to say, you know, this is what I'm going through, Jesus, come and tell me your experience, we immediately connect and fellowship. And so we need to persevere through the situations that we're in, the suffering. Don't push it away. Don't push the difficult times away. Don't push the hardships away. Because there's scripture after scripture after scripture that tells us that God uses that. That when we are open to that, something happens in the spirit. And so as we enter a new year, as we step the last week and a half into a new year, let's ask the Lord to change, help us change perspective. Let's ask the Lord to help us persevere. You know, a lot of times I say this, you know, God gives us lessons, life lessons. And we need to pass, you know. Because if you don't pass, you recede. Some of you in the physical have been receipting papers over and over again. I hope not too often. But you have to recede. Why fail? Fail, recede. And in life, in the spirit, it's the same, you know. And a lot of times people come and ask me, hey, how come? You know, I'm going through this situation. The following year, also the same. Same situation. Fail all. We need to understand, and you know, I've been sharing in this with some of the youth as well, you know. You need to understand the examiner, you know, the lecturer who give you the paper, right? If you don't understand the lecturer, you cannot give what the lecturer wants, you know. Huh? You may know about the topic, and you can write 20 pages or whatever, but if you don't understand the lecturer and what exactly he wants through this paper, you're not going to get very high marks. In the same way, this something happening in USM, isn't it? In the same way, in the same way, we need to understand what God is doing in our life trials and tests. Because if we don't understand who God is, we're not going to understand what that trial, that situation, that suffering even, is for. And then the next round, we come around and, and again. And so, we need to persevere through it. But in persevering, it's understanding who God is, and what he is doing, and how he went through it, and to fellowship in him, even in those situations. To persevere through it. Number three. Paul goes on to say, now not that I have obtained it, verse 12, right? He says, He begins by saying, we need to have a changed perspective. This is who I am. This is what I have done. But then all this is rubbish. And this is what I want. I want to press in. I want to fellowship. I want to understand. I want to know the power of the resurrection of Christ. And then he goes on, number three, to say, wait a minute. You know, I haven't obtained it yet. I haven't been made perfect. But I press on to take hold of that which Christ has taken hold of. I press on so that I can win the prize. He goes on to say that, forgetting that which is behind. Forgetting that which is behind, I press on. I strain forward to what is ahead. You put yourself in Paul's shoes. Now, there was a total drastic transformation. You know, he's at one point of his life, you know, he's a Pharisee and a teacher of the law and all that. And he goes around persecuting the church. In fact, people tremble when they hear that, oh, Paul's in town. Right? Saul at that point of time, right? People tremble because he comes hard and he persecutes the church. When this guy, Stephen, was stoned, I mean, he was right there. But Paul, at his conversion, God challenges him. You know, he comes, there's this turnaround. He cannot. Even though he says it in this passage, you know, as for zeal, I've been persecuting the church. You know? I mean, I'm so on fire, right? He cannot stand, look back and say, you know, God, I've done all that mess. Messed up here, messed up there. In fact, I was the one who, you know, destroyed a lot of churches. That's the bad me. And that was my past. And, you know, cannot keep looking back. Just forget it. Forgetting what is behind, I press on. I strain forward to what is ahead. I press towards the goal to win the prize that Christ has called me. A lot of times, and this is one of the things that the devil does to us, he reminds us of our past. He reminds us and says, you want to serve God, you've been persecuting the church. How are you going to serve God? How are you going to serve the church when you were you kill people in the church? And a lot of times we hear that, we get bogged down and say, because of my past, cannot. Because of this and that, and those things that have happened, maybe not. But Paul says, I press on, towards the goal that Christ has called me heavenward. It is something that is heaven, it's a heavenly calling. It's not something of this earth. God's calling is of God. It's a heavenly thing. It's a spiritual thing. And a lot of times we look at what has happened here, forget that our calling is up there. And then we look back and say, mess. Fail. Number three, press on towards the victory that God has in store for us. And so just three things as we, you know, come towards the end. Perhaps we'll talk about this passage a little bit more in the weeks to come. But these three things for us as we come, as we think about, and I hope you have been thinking and praying about surrendering, let it go, let it die. What next after that? You know, what if all these things die? What happens? My challenge for us, for you and I, is to let's begin as we enter into the new year. Let's prep ourselves. Let's prepare ourselves to have, number one, a right perspective of life. God's perspective. To see things of value in God's terms. Number two, to persevere on. As you enter a new year, one of the things that will constantly happen in our life is this. We will constantly be challenged. We will constantly go into areas, situations whereby, I use Paul's word, we will suffer. And if you are not ready to suffer, if you and I, we are not ready to suffer and to understand that, we cannot move on. Don't just pray, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, full stop. Because it's a package. Number three, whatever has happened, press on. Press on. Have a right perspective, persevere and press on. To that which Christ has called us. Heavenly calling, right? It is a heavenly calling. The new year will have new challenges, maybe. New things, maybe. Some of the old things you carry forward. Some of you don't want to carry those old things forward, but you have to as well, carry forward. And you may consider those things as suffering, never mind. Carry them forward. But press in. Amen. Press in. Let's bow our heads right now. And as we bow our heads, I'd like us to think about our situation right now. End of the year. Think about our year that has gone by. Think about the year that is ahead, maybe. And ask ourselves this question, what is my perspective of life in the past year? How can that perspective change for the new year? What are some of the things that we have gained? Can we? Dare we? Like Paul say, I consider all those rubbish compared to gaining Christ. But this also means that we need to gain Christ, right? We need to begin to understand, because if we let everything go and we don't take on something else, we got to be very miserable, you know. And a lot of times in our life, we are miserable because God tells us to let it go. God tells us to let it die, right? And we say, okay, God, let it go, let it die. And then we stop there. We don't move on to receive, to learn, to press in. We go through a difficult patch, suffering. We don't learn to persevere. And even if we persevere, sometimes we don't understand why. Because we are listening to the wrong voices. In the midst of perseverance, in the midst of suffering, we need to listen to the voice of Christ. Because when we listen to Him, we will immediately connect, have fellowship, because He has gone through it. Press on to what is ahead. It's very easy for you and I, people, to give up. Very, very easy. You know, and a lot of times when we give up, we blame God lah. You know, God's situation not so good, so your fault lah. God, the situation is like that, so if you need to change it, if anything's supposed to be better, God, you change it. And we spend hours praying, but we're not willing to do anything about it. And so right now, church, let us be ready to say, God, I'm ready to do something about my life. To have a changed perspective of life itself. To have a changed perspective of the things that I value. So many things that I value. help me to call it rubbish. Tough. Help me to persevere on. Father, we pray for every single one of us here. We surrender our lives to you. Lord, we have to admit certain things are not easy. We have to admit that sometimes we have been brought up in, you know, we've been taught a certain way by different people, by society itself, to think a certain way, which is contrary to your perspective. This day, Father, we pray that you will teach us to have a right perspective. Your perspective. Help us to be willing, to be open, to be surrendered. Because it's all about you. Help us, Lord, to persevere on. Many times we shun the difficult times. We push it back. Father, forgive us, Lord. Many times we have not had the patience or the endurance to persevere. Forgive us, Lord. And we come to you right now and say, Lord, teach us. Teach us to press on to victory. Teach us to press on to the things that you have set before us. Because we want to honor and glorify you. We want to give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.